I yell out to my God. I yell with all my might. I yell at the top of my lungs. He listens. I found myself in trouble and went looking for my Lord. My life was an open wound that wouldn't heal. When friends said, everything will turn out all right, I didn't believe a word they said. I remember God and shake my head. I bow my head, then wring my hands. I'm awake all night, not a wink of sleep. Can't even say what's bothering me. I go over the days one by one. I strum my lute all through the night, wondering how to get my life together. I yell out to my God. I yell with all my might. I yell at the top of my lungs. He listens. Will the Lord walk off and leave us for good? Will he never smile again? Is his love worn threadbare? Has his salvation promise burned out? Has God forgotten his manners? Has he angrily stalked off and left us? Just my luck, I said. The high God goes out of business just the moment I need him. I yell out to my God with all my might. I yell at the top of my lungs. He listens. And once again, I'll go over what God has done. Lay out on the table the ancient wonders. I'll ponder all the things you've accomplished and give a long, loving look at your acts. Oh God, your way is holy. No God is great like God. You're the God who makes things happen. You showed everyone what you can do. You pulled your people out of the worst kind of trouble. Rescued the children of Jacob and Joseph. I yell out to my God. I yell with all my might. I yell at the top of my lungs. He listens. Ocean saw you in action, God. Saw you and trembled with fear. Deep ocean was scared to death. Clouds belched buckets of rain. Sky exploded with thunder. Your arrows flashing this way and that. From whirlwind came your thundering voice. Lightning exposed the world. Earth reeled and rocked, and you strode right through ocean, walked straight through roaring ocean. But nobody saw you come or go. Hidden in the hands of Moses and Aaron, you led your people like a flock of sheep. I yell out to my God. I yell with all my might. I yell at the top of my lungs. He listens.
The psalmist finds himself in a bit of trouble here. Exactly what the trouble is, he never really gets around to saying specifically, but most of Psalm 77 is this list of just how wrong things have gone in his life. Things have gone so wrong that he is, in fact, unable to eat or sleep a wink. And he yells at the top of his lungs, crying out to God, but he receives no answer to his prayer. To him, it is as though God has gone deaf to his prayers. And so he feels overwhelmed by the storm which has descended upon him, which, as we have seen in the storms that have happened this week, storms are powerful and sometimes unexpected. Again, we don't know exactly what kind of trouble or metaphorical storm that the psalmist is in, but what he describes at the end of the psalm certainly sounds quite terrifying. The ocean saw the storm and was scared to death as the clouds belched buckets of rain and the sky exploded with thunder and the lightning flashed like arrows across the sky, exposing the world. The earth is sent rocking and reeling in the midst of this storm. And maybe that's a little bit of what the psalmist is feeling on the inside in the midst of this storm, overwhelmed by its power, completely out of control of what's going on around him. And as much as he prays, he sees no end to the storm. So he's feeling like God is not listening, not hearing his prayers. He's feeling abandoned. He's feeling rejected by God. Again, he never names the trouble or the storm that he is in, and neither does he actually ever get around to asking God to save him from the storm. But maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe he's already prayed and prayed and prayed and asked that God would deliver him from this storm time and time again, yet to no avail. He has not heard an answer to his prayer. So in his eyes, his prayer goes unanswered because the storm rages on. And he's unable to see. Just can't even see how God can be with him in the middle of the storm. So it feels like he's all alone. I think we've all been there a time or two ourselves. The thing with storms is sometimes you can see them kind of brewing out on the horizon, and you have time to prepare for the storm. But other times it seems like they just kind of blow up out of nowhere without any warning. And they're upon you before you can even think about where it was you last saw your umbrella and you're soaking wet. And when a storm blows up, whether we see it coming or not, there's nothing really for us to do. There's nothing for us to do but to sit and wait while this storm, which is completely out of our control, passes by. And as we are sitting there, not able to do anything but wait, we can take comfort in the fact that we know that the storm will eventually pass us by. Sometimes when we're in the middle of it, it's hard to remember. And the psalmist seems to have forgotten that the storm that he is caught in the middle of, he's forgotten that eventually it will pass. But the problem is he's so overwhelmed by his present troubles that he has forgotten. He has forgotten all of the good things that God has done personally for him in the past. And he's even forgotten all about the good things that God has done in the history of the Israelites from the time of the Exodus, when Yahweh's servant Moses led them out of slavery from Egypt. The story of salvation has presumably been drummed into his head from the time that he was a young boy. And that history, it's like it has disappeared because he has forgotten. He has forgotten where he has come from. All of those memories, those past memories of God's faithfulness, have gotten washed away in the buckets of rain and in the explosions of the thunder. The pain of his current stormy trouble has overwhelmed even his memory. But now more than ever is the time that he must remember. He must remember how God has acted in the past, because that's the only comfort in the middle of the storm. knowing that God indeed is with him, even when it doesn't feel like it, even when God is unseen. In the midst of the storm, you have to remember that the storm will pass, even if it doesn't feel like it at the time. A wise man once wrote that there is a deep need inside each one of us, from time to time, to enter that still room within us where all the past lives on as part of the present, where we are most alive to ourselves and to our turnings and to where our journeys have brought us. And the name of the room where all of this lives is remember. The room where with patience, with charity, with quietness of heart, we remember consciously to remember the lives we have lived. So when the storm is at its most powerful, that is when we need to open the door to the room named remember. The room that once we enter it gives us a window into our past, into our history, into the God story of salvation for us. It's when the storm is at its most powerful that we need to see where our journeys have brought us, the ways that God's hand has guided us, even when we couldn't see it at the time. The room whose name is Remember will remind us that God's promises are ever new. The room whose name is Remember will bring back to mind his graces and his love when we, like the psalmist, feel alone in the midst of the storm. The room whose name is Remember will tell once again God's deeds of old. What do you do? What do you do when God doesn't seem to hear your prayers? When you wonder if God has left you for good? What do you do when you wonder if God will ever smile on you again? When you wonder if his love has worn threadbare? When you wonder if his salvation promise has burned out? What do you do when it seems like God has turned a deaf ear to your prayers? You remember. You open the door to a room named Remember, and you remember the life that you have lived so far. And you remember that without God, you wouldn't be where you are today. Even if it feels like right now, he's far away. The Israelites had many touchstones in their faith. Moments in time where God revealed himself to them in mighty and powerful ways, often when the storm upon them was the greatest. For them, faith always begins with remembering the Exodus, the liberation and the freedom in the Exodus. And so they remember Yahweh parting the waters so that they could walk across on dry land. They remember Yahweh leading them through the wilderness, Yahweh empowering Moses to crack open a rock and watch the water pour forth. They remember the gift of manna, daily bread from heaven. So as followers of Christ, we have our own set of touchstones in our faith, which starts at the cross, when the Lord and Savior died to save sinners like us. That's our first touchstone. That's our first memory to hang on to. And as we live and as we grow and as we follow Christ, we discover other touchstones in our experiences of God's holiness or God's sustaining presence, which are mile markers along the way in our journey of faith. They are kairos moments in which the ticking of the clock seems to stop. Times when we find ourselves in a thin place and where God feels so close that we could just reach out and touch it. Our touchstones are memories of moments where we knew absolutely, positively, and without a doubt that there is a God and He loves us very much, just the way we are, though He longs for us to become so much more. These are the touchstones. These are the memories that fill up our room whose name is Remember. And when the storm is at its most powerful and most uncontrollable, and when we feel most alone, we can each open up the door to the room named Remember. And we can remember consciously to remember the lives that we have lived, lives which are our own beautiful, quirky little testimonies of God's faithfulness to us. It's interesting, by the time you get to the end of the psalm, it's interesting that his situation hasn't changed. It's not any better at the end of the psalm than it was when the psalm began. He's still caught in the midst of the storm. His circumstances haven't changed. But somehow, he has. Somehow, he manages to open the door to the room named Remember. And he remembers who he is and whose he is. And he says, once again, I'll go over what God has done. I'll lay out on the table ancient wonders. I'll ponder all the things you've accomplished and give a long, loving look at your acts. Oh God, your way is holy. No God is so great like our God. You're the God who makes things happen. You showed everyone what you can do. You pulled your people out of the worst kind of trouble, rescued the children of Jacob and Joseph. Finally, the psalmist remembers that since the beginning of time, God has rescued his children from the worst kinds of trouble over and over again. And so in his room named Remember, he feels the solid weight of his touchstones of faith and connects with the timeless truth that God will rescue him too. Storm isn't over yet, but he will survive because he knows that God is with him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.